Jason, how about singing something there for us?
Was a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward, just one touch, then a new life.
Means it says there's a room filled with sad ashen faces. Have you ever all of us I'm sure have been to a funeral, and have you noticed the difference between a funeral for a saved person and an unsaved person? That's what this verse is about. The first part of it is, there's a room filled with sad ashen faces, without hope, death has wrapped all of them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing, for death can't be sealed in a tomb. I like to picture the song in my mind and what's actually happening. And this one was a little bit difficult, so I thought I'd help you out. I'll do it again. Now there's a room filled with sad ashen faces, without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing, for life can't be sealed in a tomb, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and made the difference for me.
another song there, Jason, if you would.
Strength when I am weak, and you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my
with me, Luke chapter 24. I'll start reading while you hurry up and get there. Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? Wow. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, these two men on their way to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, it's probably a little bit, maybe 3 to 4 miles away. They were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they walked, Jesus came together with them. While they were walking, they were talking of all the things which had happened the last few days in Jerusalem. And while they were walking along, the Lord comes and drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not see. Now that's the work of the Lord there. He kept their eyes blinded so that they could not know who he was. He did that on purpose, for he would reveal himself to them through the scriptures. And you and I ought to be glad as we sit here tonight, because we've never seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We only have the witness of these who were living back at the time when this took place. But I've never seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ, not visibly with my eyes. He hasn't come down and walked with me for any distance and talked with me. I have the witness of those who were there. And even Jesus did not reveal himself to them until he told them everything that the scripture says about himself. So one of the things I would like you to grab a hold of here tonight is the importance of the scriptures to understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do and what he's going to do yet in the future. What a beautiful Bible study Jesus gave these two men that day. I doubt that there's ever been a better Bible study had than that was had by those two men that day. I've often said, wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the, you can't say the wall, how about a fly on the trees as they went by and just listen in to the conversation of the Lord with those two men? I would have loved to have been there. But you know what? You can be there. There is a way in which you can be there. When you open up the scriptures and read the scriptures that Jesus referred to, it's like as if you're right there walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because since he has gone, he has sent to us in his place the what? The Holy Spirit. To teach us all things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that through the scriptures. What a beautiful time this must have been. And you know what? I don't think that we should just say it's only for them. It can be for you as well as you immerse yourself into the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach you these things. Isn't it something how the as you read the Word of God, things just come open to you as you read the Bible, and you know that the Holy Spirit of God's guiding you and leading you? That's when it's really the best time, all right? Because you can just read the Bible just to read it and get done for your passage for the day. And then there are other times you can read your Bible and you say, wow. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that passage of Scripture today. That really has blessed my heart and soul. And it's just a book. It's just pages with writing on it. It's the scriptures, but it's a special book, unlike any other kind of book that there is. And so, as they continued walking along, notice how the Lord does certain things here. What manner of communications are these, he says in verse 17, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Do you mean to tell me Jesus didn't know? He didn't know what they were thinking about? He didn't understand? No, but I believe what the Lord is doing, and this is the example of a good teacher. A good teacher will prod the students along to kind of pull it out of them what they need to learn or what's bothering them or what they need to know. And our God up in heaven wants you to know the answers to problems and situations in your life. He wants you to know. God is not a God who does not care about us, who doesn't hear us, who doesn't try to help us out. Our God is the exact opposite. He is all those things. He wants to help us. He wants to teach us. And oh, he's given us the Holy Spirit and the scriptures, preserved them to this very day so that we might learn the things that we need to know, especially about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That's a wonderful thing. And so Jesus, I believe, is just pulling it out. Hey, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? And then, of course, they come back and say to him, are you just a stranger around here? Haven't heard what's going on? The news of the events of this day must have rung out. Because Jesus was not an unknown figure at that time. And what they had done to him and killed him on the cross and crucified him. And then now we hear that some of his followers say that he has risen from the dead. And we know the Pharisees and the religious rulers of our day sealed up that tomb because they didn't want this to happen that they might steal his body and then pronounce that he had risen from the dead. They didn't want that to happen. Well, that's exactly what did happen. But it didn't happen because they stole his body. It happened because he came forth from that grave victoriously. And then they said, are you a stranger? Don't know what's going on. And then notice verse 19. And he said unto them, notice the Lord again. What things? Again, you think the Lord doesn't know the things? He was the one involved. But I believe he's seeking to draw out of them an interest to know more of what's going on. And then they explained to him how the chief priest delivered. And verse 21 is a very interesting verse. I believe it tells the story of all the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the disciples of the Lord, anyone who heard him, anyone who was with him, and many of the people who followed him. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You know, there's many a verse in the Old Testament saying that God is going to send his anointed one, a Messiah, to come to Israel, come to their aid, help them, redeem them. In fact, there's verses in Psalms which say such thing as to redeem Israel out of all of their troubles and to raise them up amongst all the rest of the nations. And the people of Israel were looking for that, and especially the followers of Jesus as they watched him in his ministry, his earthly ministry here, and performing the miracles that he did. They were certain, here is the one who's going to raise Israel up and make us great again. And they had great hopes. You remember even down toward the very end, some of his disciples were asking him, and also they argued among themselves who was the greatest and who would be sitting next to Jesus in the kingdom. That's what they were expecting. And the fact that he died kind of just like a pin in a balloon popped that hope and that desire and that looking forward to him being that Messiah just crashed down to the ground. It says, we had trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day. We heard him say, after 3 days and three nights, I will rise up from the grave. And so even though they had heard information from individuals who said he had risen from the grave, they still weren't fully convinced of that. In fact, as you read all the Gospels, you can see that they, all of them, even the ones who went to the tomb and saw it empty, they still weren't totally convinced until Jesus appeared to them and said, handle me and see. For a spirit or a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And of course, doubting Thomas, I don't believe that. Even after the Lord said, Thomas, come, put your fingers in my hands, that Thomas even did that. But he just said, my Lord and my God. And he worshiped him. Well, then after they said these things and indicated their hopes were all dashed, down to verse 25, then he said, oh, fools and slow of heart. Could not Jesus even say that about us today? Maybe even the Holy Spirit at times says that to us. Why don't you let me teach you? You know, open up your Bible. Have a good time of Bible reading. I'll teach you these things if you just do that. Oh, I don't know about you, but you know, when I go a day without reading the scriptures, I feel bad about that. I hope you do too. I hope toward the end of the day you say, boy, I let everything get in the way of me reading my Bible. And I hope you feel bad about that. And even the very fact that you feel bad, I believe, is the convicting work of the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, you need to be in God's Word. All right, so he says, oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he says this, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? If you read Isaiah, you can read Isaiah, and Isaiah 7:14 tells us that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. Then you get to chapter 9, unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And then all the titles of deity are given to him. And the government's going to rest upon his shoulders. And you know, as you start reading, you say, amen, that's great. Someone is going to come and rule and reign over Israel. And then you come to 53, Isaiah 53. And it's like, boom, right down. Because he talks about the servant of Jehovah suffering, unimaginable sufferings and death for us sinners, for our sins, for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. Isaiah 53 has this one who's talked about in Isaiah 7 and 9 as dying. But then, as you go on into chapter 40 and 41 and chapter 60 and chapter 61, we hear of this Messiah now ruling and reigning and being glorious and victorious. So what I see is the announcement of a Messiah to come to save Israel, and then that same one dying. And then after that, Isaiah's chapters talk about him ruling and reigning in glory. That's what he says here. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, I just gave you a little illustration of that in one book of the Old Testament, Isaiah. Imagine on their walk for 2-3 miles, maybe 4 miles. You have to look at your maps and see how far it is. For 3 or 4 miles, as they're walking, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow. Beginning at Moses means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Even in Genesis, he could pull out the verses there. I wonder if he told them about Adam and Eve and the animal that was slain to cover them. I wonder if he went a little further and talked about Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah and how the ram was caught and how that God provided a lamb. And Abraham believed in that and trusted in God, believed in God. And God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. I wonder if he goes a little bit further, you know, into the 12 tribes and Joseph going down into Egypt. And then right on in through Samuel and Judges and Joshua and Judges and Samuel and Kings and Chronicles and showing the various types of Christ there. And then on into the Psalms and David's words. The psalmist, the songwriter of Israel. So many places in the Psalms speak of the Messiah to come and how he would suffer and then how he would enter into glory and he would be a glorious king. Psalm 22, 23, 24 are beautiful psalms that kind of just lead you right on through this thing. There's a shepherd, and then the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then, who is this king? Open the gates, ye everlasting doors, you know, in Psalm 24. And then going through Psalms and on, starting on into the prophets. All the prophets, not only Isaiah, but how about Jeremiah? How about Daniel, talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel and the prince that will come and how he'll be cut off, but then at the end he's ruling and reigning. How about that stone cut out of the mountain without hands, destroying the image, you know, and destroying all the kingdoms and then itself becoming a great kingdom. I wonder if he talked all about that. I wonder if he went on into Jeremiah. He talked about the righteous branch that would come forth. Ezekiel talks about a glorious kingdom to come someday. And then on into the minor prophets. Micah talking about the very birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ in Micah 5 verse 2. Hosea talking about the 3 days. And after 3 days, Israel's going to enjoy a great day. Take it right on into Zechariah. That small book of Zechariah is filled with a lot of prophecies about the coming glory of the King of Israel. And there'll be one king in Israel, and there'll be one name only. All the rest will bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Malachi ends with the Son of Righteousness that comes with healing in his wings. That's what Jesus would have been talking about for 2 to 3 miles of walking with these two. Well, they drew nigh unto the village, and here we come again to the Lord Jesus Christ doing something. Look there at verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And listen to this. And he made as though he would have gone further. Isn't that an interesting thing? In other words, the Lord is, I'll see you. I'm going on. I wonder, did the Lord know he was going to be there that night? Did he know he was going to sit down at the table with them? What was he doing? I don't believe the Lord was lying and saying, well, I'm going here, when he really wasn't. I think he again was just seeking to draw out of them what was needed for them and for me and you as we read this passage here tonight. He made like as if he was going to keep on going. And of course, they constrained him, saying, no, you have to abide with us. And they wanted more Bible study, probably, is what they wanted. Oh, stay with us tonight. And so he did, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat. Oh, here it is, folks. This is it right here. He took bread, blessed it. They saw that before. He did that twice with the 4,000 and the 5,000 people. He fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the other time he did it with a different number of the same thing. Broke it, blessed it, and broke it, and fed all the people. And whether or not these two individuals were there at the Passover time, I'm not sure, but he did it even there at the Last Supper. And he broke it and gave to them, and the Bible says, verse 31, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's why I said this morning, I don't believe the stone was rolled away to let Jesus out. I don't think he needed the stone to be rolled away to get out. I believe the stone was rolled away so that they could get in and see it was empty. Jesus could now go right on through a stone. He can go through a closed door. He could vanish right out of their sight. In his glorious, glorified, resurrected body. Which, by the way, you and I are going to have that kind of a body someday. And this world will no longer be able to hold us in. And I didn't get to it this morning, but, you know, they sealed that tomb to keep Jesus in. He had paid the price for sin, and he conquered that grave. And just as they could not seal that tomb to keep Jesus in, neither can the devil confine us to that grave once we know the risen Savior as our Savior. He can try to seal us in all he wants. It won't work. It won't work. We are victors, conquerors, more than conquerors, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, wow. Look at what they said, verse 32. They said one to another. You know, wouldn't you think they might have said, well, how did he vanish? Where'd he go? You know what was in their heart? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And here it is. And while he opened to us the what? There you go. We have the scriptures too. We have them right here. You know, those two guys didn't have any scripture in their back pocket. They didn't have a cell phone that they could go right to the scriptures. They didn't have that. They had just the Lord telling them about the scriptures. And you and I have the scriptures. And I'm going to tell you something. Next to going to heaven and the joy of being with the Lord up there in heaven someday, and we all sing about that, look forward to that and everything, you can get a little foretaste of heaven when you open up your Bible and spend a good time of reading God's Word and letting the Holy Spirit teach you the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that you will say the same thing. Did not my heart burn today as the Spirit of God opened up to me the Scriptures? This book is a great book. There is no book like this book on all the earth. And especially even more so for you and I who know the Lord as our Savior, because we have the teacher and actually we have the author of this book residing inside of us. We can have this same experience, folks. Did not our heart burn this morning when we read the scriptures and had devotions? When you go to church, did not our heart burn as we read the scriptures and hear the preaching of the Word of God? Oh, that's such a good thing. And they returned to the 12. And the whole chapter goes on to talk about how Jesus then came in their midst and revealed himself unto them. And he even says again, if you're right there, go to verse 31. Verse 31 or 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the what? The scriptures. Folks, those guys, for the first time, were able to say, wow, our Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled the scriptures that we have had read to us in our synagogues from a child. And the chief priests and the Levites read the scriptures to us every day. Those scriptures are fulfilled in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. You and I have those scriptures right here. Right here they are. What a blessing this is to have the scriptures right here. You know, you can hold it in your hand. Do you know how many people today would give everything they have to get a hold of something like this in their own language? They might even give their life to be able to have one copy of this in their language. And you and I have it, and sometimes it sits for a whole week and we don't open it again until we get back to next Sunday. That's a shame. Oh boy, we should be loving this book. All right, I hope I've stirred up a little bit of a desire for God's Word in your heart and life. Our heart did burn within us as he opened unto us the scriptures. Jason, how about come? And play Jesus Loves Me for us. And if you go to 189, we have the song there, Jesus Loves Me. Let's close with this, then we'll have a word of prayer and go home. Number 189. Now, when we go home, you know, that's not the end of it. Let's live for the Lord. Let's read our Bibles. Let's grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord throughout the week until we get back here again, together again. Number 189. opening up the scriptures to us. And may we not be satisfied with just one time, but many times of looking in your word and being blessed by it. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for giving us this word. And we know you love us because the Bible tells us so. Keep us safe as we go our way. Help those who are suffering and not feeling so well. Help me, help my leg to get better. And just bless this church. May we be used of you to reach others with the gospel. Pray you bless all our attempts to witness and hand out tracts. And pray that we would see some results in this as people trust the Lord as their Savior. Come to church, hear the word of God, get baptized, join the church, and serve the Lord. I pray that you'd work this way in our midst between now and the day of our coming home to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.